This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Pain and Pendergast.
All right, Seth, trusting the texters with factual stuff is always can be a dicey proposition, but I'll believe this texter when I read this. Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. Young Miami was at a couple Texans games last year. She was supposedly seeing Stephon Diggs.
Oh, okay. So that's how she had her intel on CJ Stroud. Being perhaps too, maybe a little too religious for her tastes or likings.
Yeah.
Or she didn't want to corrupt a young and innocent CJ Stroud. Yeah. You know what I like about that? I like that maybe if indeed she was dating Stephon Diggs and she had conversations with Stephon about CJ Stroud, maybe Stephon saying like, yeah, boy, the kid's just, he's as pure as the driven snow. And I know about snow because I played in Buffalo. Let's get back to talking about me.
Yes. Someone said, imagine Young Miami dating Sam Darnold. Oh, dude, Sam Darnold dating a female rapper. I would watch that reality show for sure.
She would lay down the law with him.
Oh,
poor Sam Darnold. There'd be all kinds of shots of him walking in behind her, going into an awards show, carrying her purse, three purses and everything else that he had to do. And her telling him to shut his hoe ass up when he objected to her flirting with Future or something.
Yeah. Exactly. All right, mock draft injection time. We do it 7:45 every day until draft time. It's gotten a little more interesting with the Texans kind of fiddling around with the offensive line, more than fiddling around with the offensive line this offseason. I mean, they've damn near tore it down, and they're trying to build it back up now. But the twists and turns along the way that felt like it would affect how the Texans look at the draft probably were the Laremy Tunsil trade, where offensive line shoots way to the top of the list of needs. And then with signing Cam Robinson this week, I don't know that it should really change how they look at it, but in the short term, if the short term was a big deal to them, it's probably slightly less of a big deal with Cam Robinson, so we'll see. But this one, Seth, is NFL.com. Mike Band is the name of the mock drafter here, and he says this about his approach. So this is what we should know when we play who he has the Texans taking here in a minute or so. My approach is research-driven. I blend insider reports, team needs, scheme fits, apparent organizational philosophy, and odds to connect dots and predict what each club's decision makers might do when they're on the clock. So he has a lot of different elements that go into how he does this. He's a next-gen stats guy. Goes on to brag a little bit. My track record speaks for itself. Over the last 5 years, I've ranked 5th in overall accuracy among 75 draft experts, and he hyperlinked 5th in overall accuracy to take you to the article that shows this.
Yeah. Okay?
Including a second-place finish among 172 experts a year ago. So
ooh,
last year he was the
second.
Getting
better.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Exactly. In 2009, he had the most accurate mock draft on record at the time. While connecting every dot in a first round mock is impossible, matching players with teams ahead of draft night is very much within reach. So here we go. 5 weeks out from the draft. We're 5 weeks
from
yesterday.
Listen, fella, there was a stretch of time, too, when people thought Colin Coward was some kind of a magician when it came to making picks because he had a good run. All right?
Yeah.
All right? Yeah.
Putting him in his place.
Let's give it another 5 years, Mike Band. But that's when you become a real draft expert.
That's right.
When you always, yes, you very much highlight when your mock draft was right. When it wasn't right, you say, everybody knows that, like, it's not about the actual prediction. It's about just the process of it all.
Yeah, that's
everybody
right.
knows that.
No caveat it. All right, so who's he got the Texans taking here with the 25th pick? With the 25th pick in the Mike Band, Braggy, Next Gen Stats, NFL.com mock draft, the Houston Texans select Mecca Abuka, wide receiver, Ohio State. Now, here's what's interesting about what he says. With Tank Dell's late season injury creating uncertainty at receiver, the Texans select Ibuka to serve as an immediate playmaker for their young quarterback. Okay. Polished as a route runner, dangerous after the catch, the Ohio State product can thrive in the slot or as a Z receiver opposite Nico Collins. Even with Laremy Tunsil gone, Houston believes Titus Howard can solidify left tackle, freeing them to focus on the skill group early and the interior O-line on day two. This was dropped yesterday afternoon, so no mention. I thought it was interesting. No mention of Cam Robinson at left tackle. He's talking about Titus Howard at left tackle. Thought that was interesting.
Yeah, that's. And I don't. I guess I'm a little surprised when people speak with complete confidence about where Titus Howard will play next year. And a lot of times it's people that I think are really smart people, and yet some of those smart people have differing opinions. I think it's wide open right now. I think that there's no way you can put Cam Robinson in as the day one starter at left tackle. I think a lot of it hinges on what they feel about the draft class, and if they draft a guy in the first round, if he's a guard or a tackle, how does he look during training camp? How do they feel about Blake Fisher as training camp progresses? So there's a lot of variables there, and it could look any one of five different configurations come day one. Ibuka, I think that really the signing of Cam Robinson and the signing of like the two veteran offensive guards so far, it puts you in a position where you don't feel like there's a glaring, oh, what the hell are we going to do situation if you had to go out and play a game with those guys.
Mm-hmm.
And it allows you to maybe more take best player available. Ibuka, at this point, I wonder if they look at it, and there's a lot to like on the leadership side of things, on the football IQ side of things, all of those things. But when it comes to just pure, unadulterated athleticism and quickness, does he have the same upside that some of the other guys have? And they already, I don't want to get too married to the definition of a slot receiver or anything. I think Ibuka can play slot, he can play outside. Same way Christian Kirk can play slot and play outside. But I wonder if they look at him more as a guy that would be a really good find in the second round. But when you're trying to look for extreme upside in the first round, I don't know if Ibuka's the guy they go
for. If Golden and Ibuka are there, I'll be a little disappointed if they take Ibuka over Matthew Golden from Texas.
Yeah, and I think the comparison a lot of people bring up, which I think is fair, but it's almost so loaded that I don't want to use it, but they'll say, okay, is this just a better version of John Mechie? He's not necessarily a guy that has great short area quickness and twitch and everything, but he's a good guy and he competes and he does all those things the right way. And I think that's got a little bit of a sour taste in their mouth given our high expectations of John Mechie.
Mm-hmm.
But I tend to agree with him a little bit. I think that D'Amico wants guys who can really separate, and route running is a lot to do with that, but at the NFL level, it's route running plus twitchiness, and I just don't know if that's what... I don't think that Ibuka is good enough at that side of it to set him apart from if Tyler Booker, the guard, is there at that point, or if Matthew Golden is there at that point. I think that they go with the guys who are a little bit more classic first-round prospects.
Yeah, I can see that. This Mike Band, who's mock drafted, has the Chiefs trading up to 24 right in front of the Texans to take Josh Simmons, who we've spent a ton of time on over the last few days in this segment. So maybe, you know, in his world, maybe he feels like the Chiefs need offensive line help, right?
Yeah.
And that
they
feel like the Texans are a team where Josh Simmons could land in this world that we're in. That would be interesting if somebody jumped right in front of the Texans to take a guy at a position of need for the Texans.
And so this is what's interesting to watch on draft day or draft weekend is that Nick talks continuously about wanting to find a band of players where you've got a certain group of guys that have a good grade and you think that, okay, we take any one of these three or four guys, we'd feel pretty good about it at this position. He doesn't fall in love with individuals, but it's going to be interesting as the draft unfolds. If you start to see a couple of offensive linemen start to drop, and all of a sudden it looks like, oh, there's a band of offensive linemen available right now. If Nick makes a move at that point, that where he can, okay, he's taking the best player available, but he maneuvered to get to a spot where the best player available was an offensive lineman.
Yeah.
I think that's what I'm anticipating. If I had to handicap it, I think Nick moves up in the first round, but it's not an overly aggressive one. It's up it's up into the 20 spot or something, to where a guy's that really could have been top 15 picks have started to slide, and he likes being right there.
It's going
to
be fun, man. It's going to be a fun draft night, a fun night one. For sure. Someone's asking on the Jim Adler Texas Hammer text line, is Booker still available in this draft when we pick a Buka? He actually is. He's still available in this draft. Tyler Booker ends up going three picks later to the Detroit Lions.
Okay, this is, so if I have to choose between Emeka Buka, a wide receiver, and Tyler Booker, an offensive guard, if one of the holdups with either of those guys, a wide receiver and a guard, is that they don't test all that well, or they're not as athletic or as fast as the other guys, give me the guard all day long.
Yes.
Because it's a lot easier to overcome average athleticism at guard. You can overcome that with technique. You can overcome that with intelligence. You can overcome that a million different ways at guard. It's a lot harder at wide receiver.
Wide receiver, you're just a guy who can't get open. if that's the case.
He runs immaculate routes.
Yeah.
Especially when you consider the fact that he's got a defensive back attached
draped
to him the whole time.
Yes. Yeah.
But his hand, defensive back has his hand delicately placed on his hip the entire time.
And he still runs just where you want him to go.
Yeah.
All right, into the 8 o'clock hour we go. Derek Stingley Jr. had his press conference 2 days ago on Wednesday. He had some really interesting things to say, though, on Texans All Access. John Harris and Mark Vandermeer are always able to get a few nuggets that you don't get in the press conference, particularly on Stingley's run defense and his description of one of the best plays of the season. Listening to Stingley go through it is just really, really cool. We'll have that for you coming up next.